Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast. I'm Ian Welsh. Joining me today is Santiago Navarro, CEO and co-founder of Garçon Wines. Welcome, Santiago.
Ian, hi.
Garçon Wines has been set up to try and innovate the wine packaging in particular, or packaging for the wine sector. So, Santiago, what is the problem that you've set out to solve and how are you solving it?
Yeah, so actually we set out to solve what nowadays seems to be quite a granular problem in comparison to where the business is now. But when we set out to develop what we put into the market today, we were trying to achieve a seamless delivery of wine into UK homes. I had prior experience from a business of mine seeing how urban dwellers were not purchasing wine online. And in instances where wine was being delivered, there were considerable amounts of missed deliveries. In fact, if you take the IMRG data for missed deliveries in the UK e-commerce space, it equates to around £1.6 billion. Clearly, in wine alone, it was a valuable problem to solve. And we were trying to achieve seamless delivery into the home to allow younger consumers, the millennials at that point, but I guess now it could also account for a younger generation than that of wine drinker, to purchase wine online and take delivery. In fact, in wine at the moment across Western Europe, just 4% of wine is sold through the digital channel, when actually wine is a product that would benefit from all the information you could get on an app or on a website. In addition to that, and something that your listeners will connect with, even if they're not wine drinkers, that increasingly consumers want to take more frequent delivery of products in smaller volumes. So we were trying to do that with wine in the UK, a space of around 1.8 billion bottles per year. But in the process of trying to create a superior bottle than the status quo round glass bottle, for that, we actually created a pack format that nowadays is positioned as a challenger to round glass bottles, not just in the UK, but in most wine consuming or producing countries. And that's because the wine bottle has remained relatively unchanged since the 19th century. The innovation actually that is credited to be the modern day wine bottle is a 17th century invention by a British inventor, Sir Kenelm Digby. And it was 2 centuries later in the 19th century that the French took that British invention, an onion wine bottle, a bottle shaped like an onion, and improved its shape for logistics and storage and transport, etc. 2 centuries later, we're in the 21st century, but we're still using a 19th century vessel. So for the benefit of your listeners, Garçon Wines is an organization that has created a flat wine bottle. So that's a cross-section design of the round bottle, and it's made entirely from recycled PET. That's a pre-existing material, not a single-use plastic. So we have innovated in shape, but also in material. Set out to solve what was a valuable and remains a valuable problem, home successful and seamless home delivery of wine in the UK, but in the process have innovated to create a solution that has scope for the majority of the 35 billion bottles of wine consumed across the globe.
What are the savings then in terms of cost and also environmental impact from switching from traditional Bordeaux-shaped glass bottles to your flat bottles?
Yeah, so I guess the environmental savings are probably more important than the financial, but it tends to be when you achieve true sustainability, you're achieving both. And if you design a product, as we have done from the bottom up, including not expecting or accepting that a bottle should be round, then you get financial and environmental savings. But as I say, as our planet is on fire, and that is very clear, we need to rise to the challenge of making the far-reaching, rapid, unprecedented changes that the IPCC tells us we should. So to give you some indication, I guess glass is a much heavier material. It requires more energy to produce, to move, to recycle. It shatters easily, so it requires a lot of secondary packaging. And just to put it into perspective, I guess it takes 75% less energy to produce a bottle from recycled material versus virgin material when you look at plastic. So there's many, and you would need to actually reuse a glass bottle around 20 times for it to have the same carbon footprint as a PET bottle made from 60% recycled content. The exact cost savings are really dependent on the scale of business and what element of the packaging they use. We have shown examples where our bottles pack onto a pallet format, so that's in cases and then onto a pallet for logistics, where we achieve up to 2.5 times the amount of product on the pallet. In that instance, you're achieving 50 to 60% savings from financial position, but also from an environmental saving. And so the cost savings and the environmental savings, greenhouse gas emissions, are significant. They are so significant that the world has drawn significant attention to what we're doing, because the wine industry, as most other industries recognize, we're no longer living in a planet which is business as usual. We need to make significant changes. And we are used as a benchmark example of triple bottom line sustainability. That's healthier planet, wealthier industry or companies, and happier consumers.
Okay. To what extent do these savings that you talk about, I mean, it strikes me that they were going to rely on there being efficient and widespread recycling for the inputs into your product, and then also once the wine is out the bottle, you need and rely on that bottle then going back into recycling into new products. What are you doing to enable that in your value chain, to enable the recycling that's required?
Yeah, so actually we started developing a product entirely from recycled material in advance of Blue Planet 2. I mean, most people will be at the moment concerned or considering the impact of plastic on our environment as a result of the phenomenon of Sir David Attenborough, who brought the responsible management and recycling of plastic to everyone's attention. But we were working on this in advance because we were innovating. Most people are now reacting. And so we are actually one of the first to market with the product in our early days, and still to date, we access that recycled material from continental Europe because there is no source of it. That's food grade at the moment in the UK, although there is significant capacity being put in place at the moment to create recycled material. But let me be clear, even if we were producing our bottles from virgin material, we would still make an environmental and financial saving over the glass bottle. So we take it a step further, and we use recycled content, and we also design a bottle to make it easily, fully, and widely recyclable afterwards. I mean, UK's recycling at the moment around 74% of plastic bottles, and 99% of local authorities will collect plastic bottles for recycling. Not all of it does get recycled. We have to take into consideration the materials and the products we're using, both in terms of having a clean environment, but also in terms of the fact that our planet is on fire. And so for us, we are extremely engaged in the space. We designed the product initially, actually, that wasn't fully recyclable. The first product that went to market had the wrong cap and the wrong label, an aluminium cap and a paper label, was now our product. And that was actually only a very small release of product in the early days before it was flagged. The issue was flagged to us. Nowadays, our products all go out with a plastic cap and a plastic label to ensure that when they are collected, they will be recycled. We're also highly motivated by the innovation being shown to things like the deposit return scheme. And if you look at countries like Germany, Norway, or Sweden, they're achieving interception rates and recycling rates above 90%. So in some cases, it's close to 100%. So Norway's close to being perfect recovery and recycling. We're using material that's been around for a long time, and they're PET, and it can be very widely recycled. It is the most commonly recycled material, but importantly, it has a very low carbon footprint. And for us, that is most important, whilst ensuring that we invest and dedicate the required time and resources to ensure that our bottles do not end up in the environment.
Can your bottles go into a single recycling stream?
They do, yes, actually. The cap and label are specifically chosen so that they can go into the PET recycling stream, and they separate through a system of flotation and a flotation tank. They are specifically actually developed for PET bottles. The good thing by coming to the party late with PET, as we did, I mean, we came to the party early with recycled PET bottles, but we came to the party late with PET bottles. We benefit from other companies who've innovated to support having bottles that can be recycled. And certainly the label and the cap we use are specifically developed for PET bottles so that they can allow for the bottle to be fully, easily, and widely recycled afterwards, which is circularity, as you point out, is fundamentally important. And a lot of companies and a lot of individuals are innovating to that goal, because the environmental complexities of the 21st century, as we know, is not just pollution from waste, but it is a climate crisis, but it is also resource scarcity. And so with those three environmental complexities in mind, we need to be designing products that are truly innovative and that take all three into account, whilst recognizing that in most instances, we will burn before any other environmental issue causes us significant problem. And unfortunately, we see the inferno we can see in Australia. It's a very clear example of that and a very shocking example of the clear and present danger we're under.
Let's turn a little bit thinking about precisely how you've impacted the wine industry then. Wine sector, very traditional, or certainly has a history of being very traditional and doing things in a very traditional manner. How enthusiastic has the wine sector been to your innovative bottle?
The wine industry is more traditional than most, and actually we respect that heritage and tradition. We don't believe that wine consumers want to drink out of a box or a can or a carton or anything else but a bottle. So what we have created is a 21st century wine bottle. It's actually a 21st century version of the 19th century Bordeaux and Burgundy bottles. So when we talk about flat, it's a cross-section design of those two key shapes that spread from the two main wine appellations in France across the rest of the world, together with the vines that were taken and planted everywhere from New Zealand to the United States. And, you know, now they've planted large volumes in China and other places. So we didn't go away. That part was not broken. The beauty of the world of wine for us was in no way broken. We wanted to innovate whilst respecting that heritage and tradition, which is why actually the world of wine has engaged positively with us. I'm sure there are some that are not comfortable with what we're doing. I'm sure there's some who are even more drastic and probably wish I never existed. But the reality is that through an immense amount of reputational traction, we have then had the benefit of so many companies reaching out to us along the entire value chain, so not just wineries, but other companies engaged in the world of wine. And they have reached out to us at such a level that we can't keep up. That's wine companies in Japan and other places we don't immediately connect with wine production or wine consumption. And so for us, by innovating whilst respecting heritage and tradition, we believe that we have had the world of wine being much more interested. And I could have never in a million years imagined at the start of this innovation journey and this entrepreneurial journey that the world of wine would have engaged so positively. But also the world of wine recognizes that it's not just the planet that is experiencing an existential threat, but also the world of wine. And there are plenty of examples, including, for example, very famous appellations like Bordeaux in France last summer, 2019, changing the laws governing what grape varieties are allowed in the Bordeaux wines in order to allow the appellations to be surviving through a time of changing climate. So the world of wine is suffering, and for us, the timing is perfect to be introducing a climate-friendly wine bottle that will also allow more wine companies to be competitive in a global world. The direct-to-consumer landscape, very big in the United States, but when you're trying to use a round glass bottle through that channel, it's a large struggle. There's a high cost for consumers to take delivery of product and a lot of packaging, etc. We used to say we create a wine bottle for the Amazon generation. There's probably many more big retailers now that could be taken into that, including Alibaba's Tmall and others in China. The world of wine has been positive to us, and that is covered in the world's leading wine magazine, Decanter, covering us in their January edition of 2020 as a solution to the round glass bottle, which has, in their view, a grotesque and unnecessary carbon footprint.
Okay, so how many different types of wine can I get in a garçon wine bottle?
At the moment, there's a selection. I mean, at any point in time, there's 10, 20 probably different wines at various labels for different brands. But importantly, I guess we're still a startup, so we took product to market middle of 2018, grew the business through 2018 and 2019. But primarily in 2019, we're engaged with some of the giants in wine looking to activate their well-loved brands, because it's true having wine brands in our packaging that consumers know and love. Will we move the needle and actually make the positive impact we want to on the world of wine, on the health of our planet? So in 2020, you will see across the UK, but also if there's listeners to this in the Nordics and other parts of Europe and also in the United States, you will see well-known, well-loved, well-respected brands across a range of different quality and price ranges being offered in our pack, because over 2019, most of our focus was being done behind closed doors. The work we were doing was not in the public domain. It was negotiating with some of the giants in wine and some of the giant retailers in wine and others to activate our packaging into their business, because there's many great winemakers, there's lots of great wine, there's lots of loved brands, but packaging was left behind in the 19th century.
Are there any types of wine that are unsuitable for your bottles? I mean, can any from low price point through midpoint point to top of the range, can all levels of wine be stored satisfactorily in your bottles?
So you could pack any wine in our bottle, but you wouldn't be able to leave it and store it in our bottle for more than 12 to 18 months. The only area where PET has a weakness compared to glass is that it's permeable to oxygen. So we treat our bottles with a barrier technology, which is an active oxygen scavenger and a passive carbon dioxide barrier, to ensure that we give the bottles a 12 to 18 month shelf life. But that is by far the majority of wines. And actually, in these early days of January, a number of major wine writers have been covering the fact of why are we still using a glass bottle. That's perfect for wines that need to cellar for many, many years, sometimes decades, even longer, for those wines that will actually be bottled and consumed in the same vintage and normally actually purchased and consumed within 24 to 48 hours. So our packaging is for mass market wines. I was recently actually on a radio show and the wine expert was calling them Kiss Me Quick wines. So that's what we're targeting. That's where we'll make the impact, not on those one, two bottles people might drink per year at a special occasion like their birthday or their anniversary or something. Those can remain in heavy round glass bottles. Sure. They will have very little impact on the industry and the health of our planet.
And I guess then that your solution is not one that is transferable to other high-end beverage markets. I'm thinking in terms of the perhaps a whiskey industry, where again people tend to have bottles that they will perhaps take a little bit from once or twice a year. So that sort of brand or that sort of type of product is not entirely suitable for your bottles.
It is. Spirits are different, and as you correctly pointed out, people have spirits cabinets where they have open bottles, and that's it there for years, and they might just have a little bit of it every, serve it to some relative every Christmas, and it's absolutely fine. No, I guess spirits have a much higher alcohol concentration. They perform very differently when in contact with oxygen and don't tend to oxidize like wine does grape wine, so the majority wine that we're talking about. So no, we actually do have some active projects in spirits, and we are working on innovative and sustainable packaging solutions for the spirits space. And in fact, the name Garçon Wines that you introduced my company for at the beginning will likely not be our brand name for too much longer. We're actually also working on a rebrand of the company to be more the business we will be in 2020, 2021 and going forward. So no, spirits is relevant, and actually they're about the same size. So wine and spirits are about 35 billion bottles per annum across the globe. But where the majority of wine and the majority of spirits are being consumed is quite different. So if you look at the landscape of the really high volume spirits consumption, it's in different parts of the world from where wine is being consumed. But it's still a very attractive space. You have some Indian whiskey brands or some Korean soju brands where a single brand is selling close to more than a billion bottles. That's phenomenal. No wine sells that level of volume per brand. It's an interesting space, but actually innovating in wine made more sense than innovating first in spirits. And this, I guess, is a general point of interest for your listeners from an innovation perspective, because spirits, the majority of that volume is owned and run by a handful of very large spirits brand owners, whilst in wine, it's totally the opposite. The wine world is very fragmented, and even the giants of wine are just 1 or 2% of global volume, whilst in spirits, it's double digit. And so if you're innovating in spirits and you don't manage to onboard those giants, you risk never becoming a truly scalable solution. But in wine, even if we did not get the giants to work with us, we could still be the dominant packaging format. So I guess for us as a startup, it was safer to start innovating in a highly fragmented space because no single person controls the space.
Well, Luke, thank you. It's been a fascinating conversation. There's clearly some very exciting innovation in the wine sector and the broader drink sector in terms of the impact that your products can, you know, the lesser impacts from your products. But for now, Santiago Navarro from Garçon Wines, thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone.